This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. North Carolina's Retaliatory Employment Discrimination Act, or RETA, has been on the books since 1992. It's a law intended to protect workers from disciplinary action or getting fired after they fired workers' compensation claims. It's also meant to protect employees who report unsafe conditions in their workplace. But the law doesn't always work as intended, which is something AT&T employee Robert Maumer realized when he was terminated by phone after an on-the-job injury. Greg Gordon wrote about Maumer's case for the News and Observer. Gordon's a retired Washington correspondent from McClatchy who's been working on a series of stories about North Carolina's labor laws. Greg, welcome.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. And before we get to Robert Maumer's story, we should probably try to understand what the Retaliatory Employment Discrimination Act, or RETA, is. What is it designed to do?
Well, so this came about a year after the horrific fire in Hamlet that became national news. This is a chicken processing plant, and the someone in the management team decided to put a chain on the back door to prevent employees from purloining a little chicken. So a fire broke out and nobody could get out. 25 workers died, and many more were obviously injured. And so a year later, the legislature, in a bipartisan fashion, passed this law, and it's sort of mirrors the federal Retaliatory Employment Discrimination Act, and it's designed to protect basically whistleblowers and to provide it sort of a safety net for workers who get injured if they try to file a workers' compensation claim and the employer decides to fire them to try to preempt that, you know, or even the threat of a claim, or if they report a safety problem. And this has become particularly relevant today amid COVID, and the employer retaliates, then they have recourse. Theoretically, they can go to the state labor department, file a complaint with the RETA bureau there, and the bureau it's obligated, if it finds a claim to be valid, it's obligated to conduct an investigation, to contact the employer to try to negotiate a settlement. And in the event that no settlement can be reached, then the Labor Department can issue what's called a right to sue letter. And if it really finds a strong case against an employer, it can add the words with merit, which means that if the employee then files a civil suit, the judge is going to know that, and it's going to help. The employee.
So here's a state law that on paper offers pretty strong protection for employees not to be fired or not to be retaliated against, whether they're filing a workplace complaint about perhaps an unsafe condition or if they file a workers' comp claim. And so you've been reporting on North Carolina's labor laws and provisions since December, and your latest piece is about a probationary employee for AT&T, Robert Maumer, who claims to have been wrongfully terminated following an on-the-job injury. So what happened there?
Okay, so here's Robert Maumer. He's engaged to a woman who's got severe diabetes and has had three organ transplants. So she's on total disability, Social Security disability. So their income is limited, and they're living in a house in South Charlotte. And he's a lineman for AT&T, one of the pole climbers who threads the coaxial cables through poles stretching miles. So he's on the ground. He falls down a little embankment. He manages to land on his hand. He continues to work because he needs the income, but finally the pain is overwhelming and he has to have surgery. He has pulled the ligament away from the bone. So he's out for 13 months and he comes back. He's back for about 3 weeks. And here's a twist. This is sort of what we're finding with the police brutality, developments that have swept the nation with the George Floyd case. Here's in this case, he had put a phone recording application in his phone so that he could monitor what he was being told and store what he was being told by his disability insurer, because he felt like he was getting conflicting information. And so he learns on the job that he's been laid off or is about to be laid off. So he calls his boss, who's out of town, and the boss says, well, I had made up my mind before you came back, because I'm afraid you're going to get injured again. And he remembers later that he had the recording device on. So many of these Rita cases are he said, she said. Mm-hmm. There's a conversation between an employer and a worker, and the worker doesn't really, you know, he might have contemporaneously shared the information with colleagues, but he doesn't have a lot of ways to document what happens sometimes. And in this case, he's got a recording. And so he goes to the Labor Department and files a complaint, and the Labor Department dismisses his complaint in like 4 days later without ever hearing the recording. So his attorney hooks up with another attorney, Raleigh attorney Stuart Fisher, who files a lawsuit after learning about other cases being dismissed like this, in the Wake County Court. And that suit challenges the entire administration of this law, or at least this aspect of it. And I neglected to mention that Robert Maumer, when the case was originally dismissed, he was given a notice that said in big, bold capital letters, you will not be issued a right to sue letter. Hmm. So they're not only dismissing his claim, but they're also putting him at a disadvantage. I just want to add, and so Robert was, he went like 2 years without really getting a job of any kind of, with any kind of income approximating what he was earning for AT&T. And he nearly lost his house. He borrowed money from a friend. He sold his Jeep. He sold his class ring. He and his wife changed their diets so that they could cut down on grocery expenses, et cetera. And he's finally gotten a job with the post office, the U.S. Postal Service. I want to mention something else, because today I was given information by the North Carolina branch of the Government Accountability Project, which represents whistleblowers. And they say that currently during COVID, during the coronavirus, complaints from poultry processing workers related to COVID-19 have been piling up, and as of July 15th, the Labor Department had received 75 complaints from poultry workers specifically about the coronavirus and concerns about safety, and nearly half of those were dismissed, and the agency has not conducted any site visits.
So is this a problem then, and how much of this has gone back, and how many other complaints do we have? Is this a problem with the Labor Department in North Carolina, or what's happening here?
Well, it's a state law, and this is, and the, Cherie Berry has bragged
the
about
being Labor Secretary.
Labor Secretary, thank you. Yeah. Labor Commissioner.
Commissioner.
And she has bragged about being business friendly. As my earlier stories noted, she, under her stewardship, penalties have really been modest. Even if a worker dies on the job, penalties can be just a few $1,000s in some cases. And she spent a lot of her time handing out safety awards around the state to various employers. And I'm not saying that no employer deserves a safety award. And I will add that the Labor Department, I'm not fully able to represent their side on some of this, for example, on the COVID complaints I just talked about.
So what are they saying, though, about this particular case? And let's get back to the Maumer case.
No comment. It's in litigation. And not only are they saying no comment, it's in litigation, but they're refusing to release any data about the program and have refused for 2 years now. So what we saw under Berry, there was about 800 complaints under Rita on average every year for the first maybe 8 years or 7 or 8 years of her stewardship. And since then, those complaints have plummeted while they've been rising nationally. And one expert who used to chair a whistleblower committee for the U.S. Labor Department, Emily Spieler, says that anecdotal reports indicate that these kinds of complaints and these kinds of occurrences are rampant. I will add, though, that after dismissing Maumer's complaint and after Maumer then filed suit about the whole program, the Labor Department reinstated his complaint, but did not for a year and a half investigate it, and finally did and said there was not sufficient evidence to support his claim.
I have very little time left, but how have the courts ruled on this? Can you take it to the court, and have they...
Judge Brian Collins has had this on his plate now since December of 2018, and he has yet to rule.
Greg Gordon is an investigative reporter. Greg, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Frank.
You can find links to his reporting in the NNO at our website, stateofthings.org.